Hello, all my divas and gurus. It's me, Milan B, and this is the Heavy on Fashion Life podcast. So, my podcast is about fashion and beauty and motherhood and babies and life and money and love. It's an all-around thing, honey. I am happy I will be interviewing some cool people who do some cool things in fashion and beauty. You will be hearing my little nugget in the background. I will be talking about some life experiences, beauty reviews, fashion reviews, beauty hauls, being a single mama, some spirituality stuff, and a whole bunch of stuff. It's really and truly a full lifestyle podcast. Yeah, so listen in. Thank you for joining and welcome. Yes, welcome to the Heavy on Fashion Life podcast. Hello, everyone. It's me, Milan B, and this is the Heavy on Fashion Life podcast. I am here with Erin, and we are going to talk about some cool stuff. She's the author of this great book, Plus Size in Paris. We're also going to talk about being an expat, traveling around the world in a plus size body. We're going to talk about social norms, focusing on meeting impossible standards, and even different cultures and how it is to travel, especially now. Hi, Erin. Can you pronounce your whole name so all the heavy on fashion gurus and gurus can know you?
Sure. So it's Erin Zirkin. So it's E-R-I-N, and then it's Z as in zebra, H-U-R-K-I-N.
Perfect. Okay, so let's first talk about you being an expat, because this also goes into the book. What started on your travels? You have went to so many places. I know right now I have heard that you was in Seoul, Korea, Paris, Dublin, Ireland. What starts you on the love of traveling all over the world?
Well, when I was fresh out of high school, this is many, many years ago now, I did my first international trip, and that was over to Russia, actually. So I was about 19, and that was when it was still the Soviet Union. That was before things had changed back in the early 90s. That'll show you how I'm a little older. I'm 52. So that kind of got my love of travel going. And then I came back stateside for a few years, many years. And then I went back overseas with my husband's employment. So his employment has taken us to many different countries. And it's also allowed me, alongside, you know, raising a family, to really kind of get in touch with my creative side again and start writing and start kind of putting storytelling as kind of the forefront of what I want to do. And that's where the book came about as well. So, yeah.
And what would you say is the most, even though we already know the book is definitely called Plus Size in Paris. Mm-hmm. Besides Paris, what would you think will be the most impactful city you visited that influenced the book?
Well, Dublin is definitely. I moved from Paris to Dublin, Ireland, and Dublin offered me a space and a place to really kind of put the book in a position story-wise and kind of character-wise, because I was really able to kind of tap into a writing group and a writing community there in Dublin, which is so rich. I mean, Ireland is just so rich with creativity and storytelling. So it was really a wonderful opportunity for me to kind of put my idea and story into that environment. And it just really blossomed there. So I have a lot of love for Ireland in that regard, for helping me get this book to where it needed to be, to where it is today, which is out in the world and published. So I'm really grateful to them for that. Yeah.
And you spoke on how travel really helped the creative juices flow.
Yes.
For future writers, who haven't written your piece yet, what would you say is the biggest, maybe say the top three tips you would give a writer to find that if they can't travel?
Well, I think that, you know, It's reading, honestly. I mean, if you know, the whole wonderful thing about writing and then reading and then having readers is because, you know, the gift I think of being a writer and being able to put your story or your memoir, whatever it is, nonfiction. I mean, you know, we read to be enriched and grow from those words and grow from those stories. So even if you can't travel, you know, find the places that you would like to travel to and read books that are in that location. Every time I've moved to a new culture or country, my first thing I do is I go and I search out the local writers. I search out the, whether it be classics, whether it be modern, whether it be, you know, whatever it is that just draws me to it, I will, that's what I do. I buy about the first 5 or 6 books when I get there into the culture, and I read those because that's going to tell me more about the culture and the place where I'm living more than anything else. So if you can't travel, find the books, research where, you know, you would like to go, and just start reading stories from those locations. And I'm telling you, it will be just as culturally enriching as it is to live there in some regards, honestly. Sometimes even more, because when you're reading someone's story and book that's placed in the culture, they're actually going to kind of go what I call under the iceberg. So you know that meme that went around that had like the iceberg on the top and then it had the iceberg underneath, you know, and it's like what you see on the top of what actually is happening underneath the water. That's what I feel like those books do in those cultures. So I love doing that. It's one of my favorite things to do, and I really highly suggest that. That'll help a lot, definitely.
Wow. And what book would you say was influential for you as far as traveling to different places that really influenced you as far as writing and culture-wise?
Well, it's do you mean in specific countries, or do you mean like just in general? Like how it, I mean,
Let's do both. Let's
okay.
do
Yeah.
and then just in general.
Yeah. So I think as far as writing goes, you know, I think one of my favorite writing books is by Stephen King on writing. And everyone, most writers know
Oh,
that
yeah.
book. So that's a great book. It's just very real to me and very, you know, to the point, but it's written in such a great, simple way, but it's actually very deep too, you know? So I love that book. I also love anything by Anne Lamott about writing. So Bird by Bird, you know, she's got I think she had a couple other ones, but I have that on my bookshelf too. Let's see, what other writing ones do I turn to? I turn to actually, interestingly enough, some about script writing too. I like to do some script writing as well. So sometimes I'll have a scene and I'll just script write it, and it helps me actually formulate the chapter for the novels that I'm, you know, for the novel that I wrote. So there's a couple good screenwriting ones that I've gone to. I'm trying here. I'm here. We're drawing a blank, but I do have a whole shelf full of these books at home. So I'm in, like I said, as I started out, I'm in travel mode today. So my brain is a little bit like, you know, thinking about getting to the airport and things like that. So I'm trying to focus. But as far as like story, like cultural stuff, so. I would say for Paris, for example, I read anything by Colette. She's a great writer. She's a writer that was she's back in the like, you know, 19th century, 18th, 19th century. And so she's older writer. She's obviously deceased now, but it's classics more like that. And I loved how she wrote from the perspective of the fish out of water, but yet she was French. So it was like coming from a different part of France, but moving to Paris, for example. And so it was a kind of a local perspective, but it also resonated with me because I was also feeling what she was writing about going to a different part of her own country and feeling like, okay, how am I going to fit in here? Because Paris is such a different place anyway. So Colette was a good one for me to read and to help me do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So since we are on the subject of Paris, let's
Yeah.
talk plus size in Paris.
Yep.
What is the book about? And
Mm-hmm.
yeah, what is the book about? Let's start there.
So, Plus Size in Paris is about the main character Abby. She is an influencer. She wasn't always an influencer when I first started writing the book, but she developed into that kind of a profession later. But she has been invited to go to Paris Fashion Week and do kind of a behind the scenes, you know. What you call it, event for influencers to come over and do that for the Fashion Week. And she's placed in one of the main design houses in Paris. It's fictional, it's not actual ones. And it's about her journey. It's about her journey. What does that mean for her being, a young woman in a larger body and in an environment and culture that really favors and holds very much smaller bodies. And how does she deal with that, and how does she do that coming from the place in the States where she's already built, two really major Instagram accounts that are, hundreds of thousands of followers. One account, she hasn't come clean and said that it's her. It's a very like slim, focused, smaller body account. And the other account is Plus Size Real, which is the account that she loves, and she's truly herself, and she's very, open with and very vulnerable with people about that online. So she's got kind of her own little shadow she has to deal with as she goes over to Paris to do that. And so I don't want to give too much away, but it ends in a way that she's true to herself, and by doing that, she's had a really positive impact on the people around her, from different nationalities that are different influences that were invited to the event, as well as the cultural norms of some French people that she interacts with during the event. And she's able to just do it all really holding true to herself, as hard as it was. And there's lots of low points, and there's lots of fun, there's lots of humor. But there's this common thread of this character having to kind of be pushed up against, okay, well, how true to myself am I going to be, even in a culture that may not see who I am as okay? So, yeah.
Yeah, and fashion is definitely, oof,
Yeah.
as blogger, fashion and being
Yeah.
present is super hard. What made you choose well, I understand why you chose the industry of fashion. Do you think that if you chose a different industry, it would have had as much impact as you chose fashion to be kind of like the subject matter of this book?
Yes, I do, because I think, I mean, well, I yes and no. So yes, and that the purpose of, the origin of the story came to me because I was a larger body living in Paris, and I was encountering these kind of moments, interactions with some Parisians that were really, really quite hurtful, and discriminatory, and I didn't like that. It felt really uncomfortable for me. And so I was actually walking around the Parc Bois de Boulogne, which is like in the arrondissement, 16th arrondissement outside of it where we were living at the time. And I noticed a woman that was also kind of a little bit larger body. And I wanted to kind of, I had this feeling of like, I wanted to go over to her and be like, hey, can we be friends? Like, do you have this feeling too? Like, am I just me? Or, and I was kind of like, looked over at her, and she looked at me, and she kind of looked away, and she didn't really want to interact with me. And I understood, like, I had that moment of like, oh, I get it. Because like, you don't, culturally, like two of us is going to be a lot. So it was like, so that's the story. And then, but what happened was the phrasing, I wonder how it is for her being plus size in Paris too. And that's how the title came to me. It was like, oh, plus size in Paris, that's something. There's something there. There's a story. I didn't know what it was at the time. I didn't know if it was like a blog, or if it was like a story, or I didn't know, but I just knew that that title was kind of given to me for a reason. And so I really started to work with that. And that's how it started. That's how the story started. So, it started from my personal experience living there, but I decided to go fiction with it because first of all, I'm a writer. I'm a creative. I wanted to have some fun with it. So I wanted to be fun as well. I didn't want it to be like a memoir, but, so that was part of it. But, that's how kind of how it started. So, that's why I chose that route. And then I just, it was a natural evolution that, I couldn't walk into a store, a women's clothing store, except for a Monoprix, which is a department store type thing, like a kind of like a Target. That's what it is, a nicer Target. And I couldn't walk in there, and without most clothing stores, I couldn't walk in and find anything to buy. Nothing would fit me, and I had to, and that was, I mean, can you imagine? Like, I mean, We've all had that experience of going somewhere and being like, well, okay, nothing's, I can't get this too. Like, why am I being discriminated against? So that was part of it. And so I thought, well, okay, so that's something that I know. That's something I feel personally. I can write that. I can write that from a place of, yes, it's fiction, but I can write it from a place of like, I really know what that feels like. So I can really make the character into something that's gonna resonate and feel real with people. So, yeah.
And as you talked that the character, you really like your personal life really influenced the character of Abby. What percentage would you put in? Would you say like 50-50, 60-40, 80-20?
Oh, no. I would say probably, I would say, there's a couple of scenes that are in Paris that happened to me that I then took and put them in the story. I did put those in there because they were just so raw and real. I was like, they need to be in the story so people can read that and be like, oh, geez, I don't want to go to someone. It's like, I want it to be like, we shouldn't be doing this to each other, So there was that. And that, so I mean, probably like, honestly, like 25%, maybe. It's really, it's more the fiction, but it's again, it's that fiction coming from a place of real emotion that's happened,
So in the book, what would you say? Yes, book.
Hi, Noah. Hi, Noah.
Noah has made an appearance.
All right.
What would you say for in the book as far as Abby's biggest lesson that she learned in this journey of being a parent?
I think she learned a couple of things. I think she learned that not because, again, she's an American. So she's an American traveling somewhere else and trying to make her mark in a different place. And so I think she had to learn that, like, not everyone is going to be her American ways, because that's very, like, real too. So she had to learn that, and I think she kind of, and I did that with a lot of humor and a lot of, kind of, it's just like some self-effacing humor there. It's how I did it. And again, I can write that because that's what I have to do as well. I mean, I find myself in different cultures all the time, so I have to really be open to hearing criticisms about my country, my culture, how we do things. So I think she learned that, and then I also think that she learned, another layer of this real deep, the essence of who she is, that it's that she just is, she's who she is, and that's it. It doesn't matter what culture she's in, So.
And I also like that the element in the book in regards to she has two Instagram profiles, and it's
Yeah.
kind of like a duality in her personality. What,
Yes.
like the real way, how she is and presents in real life. Now,
Yeah.
I won't say it's like a fantasy type of way, but a way that she wants to present,
Right.
sort of, kind of, in a way, in order to be kind of accepted.
Right.
So I do love that. I love the aspect of that, of it, and I think that's really cool.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a goal. That was a goal to show, because I mean, I didn't want a character that was like all, perfect, because they were not perfect, right? We're just not. So, I mean, people, characters need to have, shadows just like we do, So, and I wanted to show that, she started that account initially when she was younger, when she was like in high school. And so, but she just kept going with it because it was so profitable and working for her. So she didn't really ever go back to it and say, okay, this isn't really me. She just kept going with it because it was working. It was working. Society was liking it and social media was going well. And so she didn't want to change that. So she started the other account to kind of combat that feeling in herself of, well, I got to be more authentic. I got to be more real. I don't like this anymore. But then she didn't shut down the other one yet. You know what I mean? So it's like there's that kind of decision-making process that we all have too. Like, how far am I going to go to be really truly myself? What am I going to give up to do that?
Right, and I feel like all of us kind of go through that instance of, okay, am I going to present myself as who I really am, or am I going to present myself to how society would like to see me?
Exactly.
And I think that's really cool. I want to also talk more about your traveling and talk about how you was in Russia, which is why when it was the Soviet Union, you was in Dublin. So what other places have you traveled, and what place would you say is your favorite place that you went to?
Oh, that's hard. I actually, whenever I'm asked that question, which is a lot, I have to say, it's almost like you asking me who my favorite child is.
Oh.
So, and we can't do that, right? It's like you cannot ask a parent that. So that is how it feels, because so I'm not just traveling most of the time. I mean, obviously I'm traveling like on holidays and stuff when we're living somewhere in the part of the world that we're living. But because I'm actually moving somewhere and setting up a house and setting up a home, and my kids are in school there, I have to get myself into a community. I have to, you know, find my friends. I have to find my people, my tribe, whatever you want to call it. You know, I have to do all of that. So when we leave somewhere, it really is leaving a piece of our heart.
Wow.
I mean, it's like we definitely have. I actually did a drawing once in an art class I was doing, and it was basically I was actually going through a lot of grief moving from Ireland to Korea, which is where I am now. And we moved from Ireland to Korea last summer. So I was going through a lot of grief in this art class, and I just kept drawing this heart, and I kept putting like different shades in the heart and stuff. And, you know, and I was like, oh my God, like those shades are the colors of the flags of all the places that we've lived.
Oh, wow.
you know, and so, you know, I don't have, I've learned now myself, I don't have a favorite place, because I just feel like we've rooted there, because we're usually somewhere 3 to 4 years, and sometimes a little bit longer if we have, but so it's long enough to get rooted somewhere, you know? So to pull up those roots again and have to like go somewhere else, it's brutal. It's really hard. It's really hard on your heart. It really is. So they're all pieces of me, you know, and my heart.
So we definitely not going to pick a favorite child.
Right.
What place would you say you learned your biggest life lessons in?
I would definitely say it's Paris and Dublin. Yeah. And that's because it goes back to, in Paris, it pushed me to also find that spot in myself where I was like, listen, like my body is my body. And it's not, you know, for anyone's discussion or judgment or anything. And it's also, it's a part of who I am, but it doesn't like factor in who I am. At the essence of who I am, if that makes sense, you know? So like I had to really do that whole kind of just re-loving, compassionate self process in Paris, definitely. Yeah, for myself, yeah.
And do you have a place that you always wanted to visit and you haven't yet, and you're like edging to get there soon?
Yes. I have, you're going to laugh, but it's true. I have always wanted to go to Lapland in Finland.
Really?
Yeah. And I think it's the whole like Santa thing. And I still have younger kids. So it's like, that's just one of my dream trips for us to take as a family, to go all the way up there and be there in the snow and the little log, you know, the log houses and the reindeer. Yeah, I really want to go there. We've been to Helsinki, we've been to Finland, but I haven't been up in that kind of, I don't know, it just feels so kind of like wildly wilderness to me. I'd love to go up there, spend the time up there.
I'm from Jersey. I'm tired of the cold. I can't.
Yeah, I just, I wouldn't want to stay there. Like I said, I'd like to stay there just for like a week or two.
It would be cool to visit, yeah. I definitely have to do it like right after I have to get out of here from like the summer and then hopefully it's
right there. Yeah.
But that would be, that's really a cool place. Cool place. Okay. So, with the book, Plus Size in Paris, besides the main character, if you can dive into that, who would you say is your favorite character in the book that's written and why?
I loved writing the waiter Francois. And I loved writing that because that was kind of my, oh, I don't know, maybe a little thank you note for the waiters in Paris when I lived there, because they were, funny enough, my people. Like, I would sit down at those cafes to people watch and write sometimes and make notes and things. And they were just so, they would just come and talk to me and, you know, make jokes. And they just always livened my day. And it was funny because they had such a bad reputation. You know, when I was moving, the people were like, oh, those waiters are going to be so mean and rude, and the French are so rude, and that kind of thing. And I, you know, and I just found that to be the exact opposite for me. I loved talking to them. I loved being around them at the cafes, and they always brightened my day. And so I really wanted the character Francois, who is a waiter, who is actually in the States at the beginning of the story, working for a little, you know, those imitation French cafes we have everywhere in the States, you know, those little like cafes you can go and have like tea or crepes or something. So that's at the beginning of the book, and that's where she knows him and where Abby knows him. And they kind of have a flirty thing every time she's in there. And so I just made him like this kind of really, you know, meaningful, like he follows the meaningful quotes account on Instagram. That's like a million followers. He loves quoting from that. You know, he's very positive. He's very supportive of her. He loves when she comes in. So I just enjoyed writing him. I thought it was really fun to put him in that kind of a light when they do have it's an unfair assessment of them when that people make, because they're actually quite lovely people when you're there, in my opinion.
Parisians, especially French people, kind of remind me of New Yorkers. They're kind, but they're not nice.
Right. I agree with you.
And I think kindness is a little bit better than being nice. Because nice people are like, oh my God, that's so sad that happened to you. And they just go in there about their business.
Yeah. But like, I think that's a great way to put it, Milan. Seriously, I like the way you put that. That's really good. That is how I feel they are. Definitely. Yeah.
I had a friend who was French, and she was very kind, but she was not nice. She did not mince her words.
Right.
Like, I know it is. But she was not coming from a bad place. She was like, look, this is just awful.
Yeah, right. Fix it. Right.
I'm going to have to fix it. But don't ever do this again.
Right.
And that's in the New Yorkers and French people, I feel like, have that same duality with them. They are kind. They're not nice. They're not going to say, oh, yeah, that looks great, and just crack up when you walk away. They're just very kind people, but they're just not going to sugarcoat it.
So right. I think it's a big city thing, you know, like, I just think it's a bigger city. Like, I've lived in some bigger cities, and I've lived in like more kind of cute, very warm and cozy, you know, places like Dublin, for example. So, and then actually we consider like our home city in the States, Nashville. So more Southern, you know, so I know the difference, and I know like, they're just different. It's just a different, you know, kind of place where you live, you know. They just have different ways of dealing with things and going about things, and you know, but I love the way you put that. It's very true. Very good. It's a good way to put it. Yeah.
And so with Plus Size in Paris, I did see that it's going to be a series. Are you working on the next book? Is there going to be a sequel? What's going on?
Yes. Yeah, I am actually starting to work on the second one now. I was, you know, the last probably 8 to 10 months was really focused on getting this one released. And so it released in May, and it's doing really well. It's getting a lot of interesting coverage, and it's consistently selling, which I'm so grateful for, to all the readers, and the reviews are really wonderful. And I want to say something about the reviews that I really means a lot to me. First of all, to take time to review is huge, and everyone values that as a writer. But I have really loved that the reviews are so personal. Like, people, like the ones who have left the reviews have a personal connection to the story. You know, they talk about what it was like for them and their body, or how they love that it's like, it's kind of a, in a way, it's a body neutral book, meaning that it's not just about a plus size. It's about all bodies. And that's true. So that's been great. And so I felt like when I got those reviews coming in, and I felt like there was interest in Abby and they liked her and her journey, I felt like I wanted to make sure that, you know, I think there's three books in the series. That's how I feel. So, I'm just trying to decide if I'm going to keep her in Paris right now, or if I'm going to actually expand her to some international locations as well.
Oh, like so, maybe like move her to Dublin or Seoul. Wow, that's going to be cool.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, but yeah, I'm definitely going to be doing book two. It's definitely going to happen. So, yeah.
And do you see this maybe becoming a TV series, a movie, maybe a short series or anything like that?
Well, it's funny because it started out as a script. So it started out as a screenplay. And I had, in Dublin, I actually took a couple of advanced screenwriting courses. And I had a really wonderful community there, a group of screenwriters, and we all worked on each other's, you know, worked on each other's things. And it was presented, it was a headline script that was read by actors in Dublin. And, you know, people loved it. They loved it, the whole thing. And so I actually had someone come up to me later and say, you need to make this a book first. And then maybe after that, then maybe look at the adaptation for the screen from that. So that's what I'm hoping is going to happen. Okay. So, yeah. So because, and I think, and it's funny, people have read it and they're like, Erin, this reads like I'm watching a series or a movie. So it reads that way. And I'm like, I know, because that's how I initially started it, you know? So, but you know, the book was great. I'm glad I like writing the book. It actually was fun to flesh out things more than you do so much in a screenwriting process. But then I would like to flip back the screen process too, because it's easier to kind of get your scenes organized. So, no, I definitely think it's going to, that is my goal. That is my, I'm manifesting that. I'm putting it out there. I want it to be on the screen. I think it needs to be on the screen. So yeah, definitely.
I see this as on the screen for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And what do you like writing novels a little bit better, or do you like screenwriting, or just about the same as long as the creativity is coming out?
Well, if you asked me that like a couple of years ago, I would say, if you asked me when I was in the process of writing the novel, which by the way, from the time I got the idea to the time that it was published in May was seven years.
Oh, wow.
So that's like the longest gestation period I've ever had for my child, right? It's like I call it my fourth child. So, it took that long. And so this one's not going to take that long, that's for sure. But in that 7 years, if you would have asked me that question like 3 or 4 years ago, I would be like, oh my gosh, the screenwriting's so much easier, because the novel is a slog. It's a slog. But now that I've kind of done it, and I, you know, getting the feedback and the reaction from it and how much people enjoyed it, you know, I can see that, you know, doing a novel, it's very rewarding. You know, it is. Like, you can put a lot of things into the novel that you can't put into the screenplay, you know? So, yeah. So it's, to answer your question, I don't know yet. I'm still trying to figure that out. Trying to figure where I'm at with that.
It's like picking your favorite child. I understand.
I know. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. So let's talk about where the audience can pick up Plus Size in Paris.
Yeah.
I know it's on Amazon, but do you have like a website? Any other places?
Yes. So my website is myfirstandlastname.com. So ErinZhurkin.com. And all the information on the book is there. There's also links to purchase through Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. And then they can also sign up for my newsletter, which would be wonderful on that website. And then also I have a little independent bookstore in Nashville called NovelettBooksellers.com. They also have it there. And that would be a great way to support a local indie bookstore if people want to do that instead. So, yeah, it's everywhere. It's actually everywhere. It's on bookshop.org. It's on Apple Books. It's on Kindle. It's everywhere, honestly. They pull it up on Google right now. You can find it anywhere you want to find it.
So you can get it digitally. You can
Anywhere.
On your iPad. You can get it on your tablet, your phone.
Yep.
So it's no excuse.
There's no excuse. It's on there. If you even type into Google Plus Size in Paris book, it will bring up so many different links right now to buy the book in different ways. So it's there. And there's also some wonderful like articles that I've been able to kind of contribute to on some website, like the Curvy Fashionista. I just did an article with them, which was lovely and wonderful. I love doing that. There's a big article in there that I wrote about some of the quotes that inspired me when I was in Paris and how that helped me formulate the story and things as well. So there's that. And all those kind of things will pop up now. It's been released since May. So people, I've done some press, you know, since then quite a bit and podcasts and things like that. So
nice.
Yeah.
I do want to end, where can we find you on Instagram, Facebook?
Yes. So my Instagram is Erin Jerkin Writes. I'm on there quite a bit. Honestly, I do stories quite a bit. I don't have as many posts. I'm posting like when I have author events and things, but I do a lot of stories on there. And then I'm on Twitter. Whatever it is now. X,
oh yeah,
what he's done. Yeah, I'm on that. I'm not on there as much, but I am on there. I'm on Threads, and I will be putting up a Facebook page shortly. I have a personal account, but I will be doing like an author account on that as well. So yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much for this interview. I totally forgot. I love the mantra: be the change in the world that you want to see, and I feel like this book is really going to not only open some eyes, but really help people understand the duality and how certain things do affect other people, and sometimes for the better and sometimes for the worse. So I think
that's right.
Really great.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. And I love your podcast. I just love that you're so real about, you know, you're a mom and I think it's awesome. Really. So keep it going. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much. I super appreciate it. And guys, please go out there. Please buy the book. Hit Erin up on her socials. Plus Size in Paris is literally everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple. You can get it on your iPad.
Yep.
Check her out. Thank you so much, Erin. I really appreciate this.
Thank you.
And you have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Heavy on Fashion Life podcast with Milan B. Please check me out on Instagram at Heavy on Fashion. I'm also on Facebook at www.facebook.com/heavyonfashion. Check me out on Twitter at Milan B. And please, please subscribe. I am on Apple, Google, Anchor, and so many other podcast outlets. Also, if you would like to donate to the podcast, please go to anchor.fm/heavyonfashion and hit that donation button. Patreon page will be coming soon. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.